Top of the morning to you, and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Legos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we are here coming to you live for our St. Paddy's Day show. With me this morning is Joe Haley, probably our most Irish editor. Joe, just how Irish are you?
When I go to the beach, I glow.
Green, I'm assuming.
No, because my skin's so light, it's so white that I glow. We don't try to get a tan, we just try to neutralize the blue.
Fantastic. Well, we've also got Andy Cohn, who I don't believe is Irish at all, but still likes green beer. Is that right, Andy?
No Irish, but yes, the beer is flowing.
And yet you had some sort of corned beef and cabbage part at your house on Sunday.
I did on Sunday night.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. We also have Michelle Bell here this morning. Michelle, are you Irish?
Half. The other half is French, the better half.
And yet you're not wearing green.
What? No.
Wait, there's really French?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And we've got Kathy Houston here, who doesn't sound Irish. She's from New Jersey. How are you Irish, Kath?
Yes, my heritage is Irish.
Well, fantastic.
Irish and Harrison.
That was very
Polish.
Official.
And our special guest, Rich Polish. Fairfield, our publisher, is here, and he's wearing green, so I'm guessing you're Irish.
I am actually English.
Oh, well
be gone
you're
with
still
you.
Celebrating the day.
But I'm not wearing orange today.
Well, I'm a Heinz 57 myself. I'm a mix of Irish, Danish, and Czechoslovakian, so I'm wearing pink today. Wow. Anyway.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on. We have a fabulous show planned for you this morning. Once again, we'll be offering Visa gift cards to those who call us. Give us a call at 215-953-4979. Joe, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, we look back at last week's ASI show in New York and talk about the highlights. Andy has an update on the pharmaceutical market. We're going to take your family business calls at 215-953-4979, or you can email us at radio@asicentral.com. Does your career fit your personality? Well, Michelle will let you know. Think you know your St. Paddy's Day trivia? Kathy has a quiz to find out just how Irish you are. With March Madness in full gear, I Promote Shoes' Ross Silverstein will be calling in to talk about Dunkfest 2009. Locked and loaded, I take aim at a hot market. Andy has a few credibility busters he'd like to share with everyone. Our own footwear fanatic is going to talk about some of the up-and-coming fashion trends to keep an eye out for. With 2009 second Friday the 13th under our belts, Kathy's going to talk about how superstition pays off. Stay tuned to find out what's up my crawl today. Finally, I have seven signs that you are a bad boss. Sign number one, your last name's Lagos. Just kidding. Just kidding. Anyway, but next, the industry news. Andy.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
Halo Lee Wayne has made its first acquisition of 2009. In an all-cash transaction, the company purchased the Advertising Novelties Company last week. The distributor's 17 salespeople who were based at the company's Tulsa, Oklahoma offices will now sell under the Lee Wayne brand from Sterling, Illinois. Halo Lee Wayne confirmed to Counselor that it is looking at further acquisitions to grow its operations in 2009. American Apparel has sold nearly 20% of its business to private equity firm Lion Capital. The British equity company gave American Apparel an $80 million investment last week in exchange for 18% ownership in the operation. The cash infusion should help the apparel company pay back some of its loans that are due during 2009, with one pressing loan of $16 million due next week. Separately, American Apparel announced yesterday that its 2008 fourth quarter profit improved 30% and that the retailer plans to open 25 to 30 new stores in 2009. Plus, we have a couple of legislative notes this morning. The U.S. government announced yesterday that it is committing $15 billion to help small businesses get easier access to loans. It is raising guarantees on Small Business Administration loans and temporarily eliminating fees on both borrowers and lenders. And in Promogram this week, we'll be evaluating the potential impact of the Employee Free Choice Act, the recently reintroduced legislation that could make it easier for employees to form unions at businesses of just about any size. We have all that in a new episode of The Joe Show later on today in Promogram. Joe, what are you looking at today?
Well, we got a special St. Paddy's Day edition. We're going to look at duffel bags.
Duffel bags for St. Patrick's Day.
For St. Patrick's Day.
Things you can carry your beer
in. The one thing we think of St. Patrick's Day, you think of duffel bags.
Nice.
To carry all the beer in.
Thanks, Andy. Oh, I think that was more than 60 seconds.
I give you a minute and a half. It's a bonus for St. Patrick's Day.
Perfect. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I am still recovering from ASI New York, where we had a great show last week.
New York.
New York. Education Day was up 8% in attendance, and I don't know if you guys got to check out the brand new distributor success track, but that's something that's been building momentum all year. It's a day-long track of courses just for new distributors, so that went really well. What was you guys' favorite part?
I can't believe attendance was up 8% on a Sunday in New York. I think that's amazing.
I guess in this economy, people want to get educated.
and don't want to lose a day of business.
That's true. What was your favorite part of the show?
I'm a big fan of the galas, so the Top of the Rock was incredible. I mean, first of all, the 64 floors up, a great view of the city. The food was good. The drink was good. We had a good time. There's a great video on ASI Central. Everyone can check it out.
Andy, favorite part?
The basketball game we had on the radio shows both days.
Oh, we did. Well, we'll be doing that again in Chicago. Well, if any of our listeners missed out at ASI New York, we're going to be holding another distributor success track and, of course, lots of other things on Education Day in Chicago, which is July 21st this year. For more information, go to asishow.com. Now let's switch gears for a moment and talk about the pharmaceutical market. Obviously, we've been reporting for several months on the new federal guidelines, but now we're working on a story for a counselor, which is going to show exactly what products you can sell with success to that industry. Andy, fill us in.
Well, they're actually not federal guidelines, so that's an important thing to note, because they are actually just an association's guidelines for their marketing code of ethics in the pharmaceutical industry, and some companies are following it, and probably some companies are not following it. But ultimately, it says that it limits the use of promotional products from pharmaceutical companies to doctors. So what we looked at were some of the things that pharmaceutical companies are still buying, and you know, we're starting to get some clarity on what they're looking for. And the name of the game is education. You know, the items have to be a bit educational in nature. So, you know,
so what are some of the types of products?
Well, the typical pen, you know, which was sort of ubiquitous in the pharmaceutical market, is for the most part out. But pens that can be used in patient kits are still being sold. So the key is to have items that are part of kits, you know, journals and pens and notebooks and bags even that can be used to hold the kits. You know, people thought that these sales were going to go away in the pharmaceutical market, but they're actually not. They're still, as long as they're part of education kits, they're still part of the sales that distributors are making these days.
I read, because you're doing an article, Andy, right, in April's Counselor on it. It's really good. There's one company that does a pen, I think it's Sanford Business to Business, that the ink will tell you if the prescription is legitimate, like if it's a fake script.
Oh, that's
right.
Cool.
So I think, I mean, obviously that's, you know, a valid use.
You know, calculators are big too, right?
Yeah, calculators on their own are probably not going to work these days. But as part of some sort of kit where people have to calculate, you know, and monitor their intake of whatever drugs, the companies are talking about, can still work. And the key is information. You know, suppliers are coming up with some creative products, you know, even like puzzle type things that open up in various directions that people can use in many educational ways. So suppliers are getting creative, and distributors are going to have to get as creative in offering these things to their pharmaceutical clients.
I think it's good news for bag suppliers, especially just because hospitals do give away so many kits. I know when I had babies in the hospital, they give you a whole little thing, you know, of information and things on how to take care of your baby, and it's
always
in a bag.
Yeah. I think people feared initially when the guidelines were passed that sales, you know, promotional product sales to pharmaceutical companies were going to go away, but that really doesn't seem to be the case, and I think a little creativity is going a long way right now.
Well, everyone should be on the lookout for the April issue of Counselor to get the full scoop on this. We're going to take a pause for a moment to hear a message from today's sponsor, I Promote You. When we return, we will take your calls to find out your top family business challenges and get a few tips from some experts. Give us a call at 215-953-4979.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to today's St. Patty's Day edition of ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. We are taking your calls right now at 215-953-4979. Today's topic, top family business challenges. But first, we've got a couple very successful family business executives on the phone, and they're going to give us some tips. On line four, we have Chris Vernon from the Vernon Company. How you doing, Chris?
Doing terrific. Thank you. Happy St. Pat's.
Chris, tell us a little bit about the Vernon Company's family business history.
Excuse me, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Tell us, how long has the Vernon Company been a family business?
Well, I'm getting on a little long in years. We've been around about 107 years now, so. is this April Fool's Day? No. Yeah, we've done very well in this industry, love promotional products, and been a family business now for four generations.
Four generations. That's pretty impressive. What's your secret to being successful as a family business?
I think especially in times that we're going through right now, what is absolutely critical for any business is maintaining a strong balance sheet. We've seen a lot, we make a lot of acquisitions every year, and one of the things we always take a very strong look at is how profitable is the business. Does the company have decent margins, gross profit margins? We see a lot of people in this industry who are selling below a 30-35% gross profit, which we feel is very modest. In our business, we strive for at least a 40% gross profit percentage on every order if we can get it. We obviously understand that large orders, you're not going to probably get that kind of profit level. But to maintain the kind of service and benefits that we provide for our team, we have about 400 account executives, we have to have a good gross profit margin. Now, that's a good, just having a good offense. But in addition to that, you have to be very careful of taking on non-essential expenses. And we try to outsource a lot of functions. In fact, ASI helps us a great deal on our technology services that we would have to develop ourselves. And we found that we do the things that are critical to us, and we try to outsource the non-critical things like art and a lot of technology.
That's great, Chris. Now, in terms of family dynamics for your business, what's do you think is one of the top challenges of being a family business?
You know, I think making sure that the family understands how the business runs, and that the business has to support everyone, non-family members as well. And for us, we really run our business as a business. And it's not an automatic given that since you're a family member that you're invited to join the company to begin with, and also that you're even going to be in the management structure of the company. So you have to run the business as a business. And I know ASI has done that for years. We're very close with the Cohn family. We run our business that way. I think any company that's been around for more than a couple of decades, in order to be successful long-term, you have to run the business as a business and understand it as a business.
Thanks so much, Chris. We really appreciate your tips, and have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
We have another family business executive on line 5, Tim O'Boyle from
Journalbooks.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Am I the ninth caller?
You're the winner. Congratulations.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Irish boy.
Thank you, Michelle.
Now, Tim, how many brothers do you have?
I have 5 brothers.
And you are, and how many of you are involved in the business?
Well, right now we have 3 brothers: myself, Tom, and Larry. My father, Jerry, started the business in 1971, and up until about 2 years ago, we actually had 6 brothers all working together. And then we came up with a succession plan when we sold the business to Poly Concept. And 3 brothers stayed on for 6 months and then exited the company.
Tim, I would imagine that a succession plan is one of the most important things a family business could do. How early on did you guys plan for that?
Well, I think there was a few phases with us, because it was going from, you know, my father to the sons. And so there was a lot of planning around that when I was much younger. And I was working part-time in high school and in college. And then kind of a secondary plan of where we went from there, joining forces with Poly Concept, which was a great fit. And that wasn't so much planned as you would expect, but it turned out to be a great opportunity to kind of slow things down and really, you know, my brothers had all worked for almost 30 and some 35 years each here, so they had a very long tenure, and, you know, we're looked forward to the opportunity to do other things, and it was a good opportunity for 3 of us to stay on and 3 to do that. But it is a very challenging part of any family business, succession plans and things like that, very, very difficult type of long-term things that you don't think about day-to-day or year-to-year, but they're definitely very critical, important to the success as well.
Well, thank you.
Thanks so much for calling.
Thanks, Tim.
Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
We have Julie on line 1. Julie has a family business challenge. How are you this morning, Julie?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Tell us what your challenge is.
Okay. We've had mostly family working here, and we haven't had a lot of luck with employees from outside of the family. What kind of people and qualities should we look for when hiring non-family members?
Andy, you've written a lot about this in Counselor's regular family business spotlight.
Yeah, it's a typical issue that that many family businesses have, and I think you guys probably need to come up with a description of the type of person you're looking for. So, you know, the go-getter type or, you know, it depends on the job, obviously. But, yeah, obviously you have to have people that fit in to the culture that you guys have as a family. But the key is to identify the exact characteristics that you're looking for in people, you know, as if you would hire anybody.
Right.
It's hard when you look outside of the family because, you know, inside – you know what people's characteristics are and you don't have to interview them, but outside you have to have a process and plan in place to identify the characteristics that you're looking for. You know, I would say you need to have people that are going to take ownership because obviously take ownership of their own work every day because your family obviously does that. But when you bring on other people, they don't always feel as included. So you need to find the types of people that are, go-getters and sort of self-starters.
Do you think you need to have a consensus among all family members what they're looking for, or does someone need to be that person that decides that this is what we want?
I'm more of the belief that the person in charge or whoever the two people are in charge are the ones that need to make the decision. The consensus building can be bad.
Someone's got to make the decision.
So, Julie, if you're in charge, I would say, you know, get some advice from whoever other family members are that's in your company, but it's going to be up to you to determine.
Okay.
Good luck, Julie. Stay on the line, and we'll get you your $25 Visa card. We have another caller, I think, on a non-family business-related topic on line 3, Joanne. How are you this morning, Joanne?
Good. How are you?
Good.
It's a little bit of a family issue. We have a few different booths in different malls where we sell pre-printed T-shirts with pictures on it of your children and various sayings. And, of course, like anything with the family, everyone has their own input. And our challenge is that we're trying to keep costs down in this economy while still making a worthwhile profit in order to maintain paying for the rental of the space in the mall. And we have different inputs of different family members of what other types of products they think would have a quick turnaround and a worthwhile profit margin in this kind of business setting. And I said, well, why don't we just call and get the expert's opinion before let's taking the family opinion.
Oh, I wanted to ask, is there a person in your family business that is in charge?
There is. That would be my father.
The dad? Okay.
The dad.
And then how many people are involved in the family business?
There's 15.
15?
Wow.
So
yes.
Dad, mom,
kids?
Children, cousins?
Dad, mom, kids, cousins, in-laws.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's pretty cool.
When dad says do something, do the people do it?
A majority of them do.
So I guess that would be kind of half a no then.
Yes, because everybody likes to think that they are the person in charge.
And so just if I could ask you then, does that mean that of the 17 people you said are involved in this family, 15 people 15. In the family business, there are maybe 15 or more ideas of what you should sell?
There's probably, I would say, about 5 or 6 ideas. You know, some people have a consensus of staying together on this idea.
Well, personally, not knowing you, I would say whatever you think, that's what we should do. But I'm going to flip it back to Andy. So,
Without knowing the business, it's a little hard to determine exactly what might work. But have you guys tested what else could work in the kiosks or the stores?
We've done mugs, but you know, that's like a general. You know, a lot of people have that in the area because we're not the only booths that are in there. So we're trying to think of something new that we have not seen before that would also be a seller amongst the customers.
Could you drive people to, like, create a website if you don't have one and drive people to a website and test items there? It wouldn't take up space.
That would be a good idea.
If there's a person that doesn't agree with the group that really is passionate about selling something,
right.
I would suggest making that person man the booth, you know,
okay.
be there all day to sell it. Because if they're that passionate about it, it's probably be more successful, and that's a way you might be able to build a little consensus with everything.
So are all these products basically like one-off sales, like it's one T-shirt, one coffee mug?
Yeah, it could be. Well, some people do come in, like let's say if they're having a family reunion, they come in and they get a whole bunch of the T-shirts if they want to have the family's name on it when they're going on vacation or if they're having some type of party and they want to give these out as gifts or something with their families and stuff. It's pretty much based upon family-oriented and, pictures, sayings having to do with families.
And I have one more question for you.
Yes.
How well does your family get along?
Pretty well.
Oh, okay.
Pretty well.
That's good. So that, you know, you normally do agree on things when you sit, you all sit down?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Normally we do.
But this case, not so much?
This case, not so much. You know, everybody has their own ideas, and, you know, we just don't want, I mean, of course, it's trial and error, but we wanted to see if maybe we could just take a few of those ideas and maybe come up with those and try those first. You know, we don't want to waste time, not so much waste time, but waste money on making stuff and coming up with stuff that's not going to potentially sell.
Have you tried calendars?
We did calendars, yes.
You've done calendars. How about bandanas? That's something a little different. It's a wearable, but...
That is something we have not done.
That might be good for events or reunions.
Oh, sure, absolutely, because you could put schedules on them. It could be an invitation that you mail to everyone. It's something a little different and a little unique.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea.
Well, there you have it from the Joe from
that's
the
why
Joe
we have
Show.
Joe.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Joanne. Stay on the line,
thank
and we'll
so
get you your Visa gift card. And best of luck to you and your business.
Thank you. You too.
Well, besides being St. Patrick's Day, it's also March Madness season, and we've got Ross Silverstein, President and CEO of Distributorship I Promote You, on the line with some fun March Madness news. Hey, Ross.
Hello, Ross.
On line four.
Ross? Ross.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
How are you, Ross?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. What's your fun March Madness news?
Well, this is the second year that I Promote You is presenting Dunkfest. It's Dunkfest 2009, and it's basically the tournament challenge and picking the brackets for the men's NCAA basketball tournament. And it's open just to the promotional products industry. For years, we've done it just within our company and among our preferred suppliers and affiliates. But last year, we opened it up to the entire industry. It was a big success, and we're building on it and doing it again this year. It's sponsored in part by ASI, by Norwood Promotional Products, and by Bodick and Rhodes. We have trophies awarded to the top three winners, and we have T-shirts being given out to the top 50 winners. And it's just a lot of fun, a way for people in the industry to, you know, build up some camaraderie, have some friendly competition, talk some smack to each other in support of their local school or alma mater.
Okay, so most importantly, who's going to be in your Final Four?
Well, my Final Four, I think I'm going to have UConn, and I'm going to have Pitt, and North Carolina, three number ones. And then I'm not sure about the Midwest, where Louisville is. I think there could be an upset there, maybe a 3 or 4 seed.
So you're not going to get too creative?
No.
See, well, originally when I saw the email come by, I thought that Ross was going to be in a dunk tank and people were going to dunk him, and that was going to be on
video. Really excited about that.
That would be a good fundraiser.
But sorry, now I'm glad that you came on the radio show, Ross, to explain
cleared
the whole thing.
Cleared it up. So Ross, how do people go and sign up for Dunkfest?
Well, there are a lot of different ways. We've been sending out emails throughout the industry, and it has links directly to the sign-up page. But alternatively, you can just go to the I Promote You website at www.ipromoteyou.com and then click on the link for Dunkfest, and it'll take you directly to the information registration sheet. And it's being done in conjunction with ESPN.com, and it's really a lot of fun.
All right. Well, check out Dunkfest. Thanks so much for calling, Ross.
Thanks, Ross.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, so we've all wondered at one time or another, am I in the right career? Michelle, how can people know for sure if they're destined to be an advertising specialties professional?
Well, they should take a look at their prevalent traits and their personalities, and you can match them up with specific jobs. For example, if you're an artistic person, somebody whose imagination can stretch further than others can conceive, and somebody who likes to work without rules,
who does that?
You'd be a good editor, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, indeed. If you're somebody who's conventional, like little JoJo Haley here, who loves rules and procedures. And
do you love rules, Joe?
I do.
Okay. Yes, he does. He'd be a good accountant.
Big fan of rules.
Or an actuary.
Or
you have
managing
to be an
editor.
Accountant.
Very much, very true.
Now,
very
what
true.
About sales? Because obviously a lot of people
Well, that would be someone who has an enterprising personality, meaning someone who likes to see projects through from start to finish. Business ventures in particular. That's where advertising sales agents and sales managers and reps come into the play. Mm-hmm. If you're a social personality, like Ms. Houston here, you thrive on human interaction, and you'd rather work with people than machines or data.
How that come you true. Didn't say it was like me?
That is true.
No. We don't have a personality type for Captain Killjoy. Sorry. And then if you're an investigative person, you like using logic over imagination and solving problems and mysteries.
No way.
And putting together pieces of a puzzle. I would say that's you, Andy, a little bit.
Yeah, you're logical.
Yeah, I'm all about the puzzle.
I always wanted to be a detective.
Dr. Spock.
Did you really? I did. So maybe someday.
You and want a puzzle challenge?
No, I want to be a detective. I hate puzzles.
Oh, yeah.
And lastly, if you're realistic, then you're results-driven and a hands-on person who likes problems and solutions. That's like you, Rich.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
And what's good for that?
You could be a locksmith.
I think that's a great idea.
Wow, we nailed
Thank
it.
You, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Put in your resignation. This is our St. Patty's Day show, so Kathy's got a little game show for us to test our St. Patty's Day know-how. Kathy, you ask the questions. If one of us knows the answer,
the
we'll
the
shout
Irish.
Out Lucky Leprechaun.
Oh,
and
Lucky
if we
Leprechaun.
Get it right, we'll get a point.
Okay. Wait, we have to say Lucky Leprechaun?
Lucky Leprechaun.
Yes.
Okay. Or else you don't get to answer. Okay.
Lucky Leprechaun. Oh, sorry.
First two are true or false. Quiet, Andy. Number one, the Chicago River is dyed green every St. Patrick's
Day. Lucky Leprechaun.
True.
She has to call
you
on
didn't
one
even,
of you.
Andy didn't even say, and he's shouting out the answer.
Stop with your shenanigans.
We're not very rules-based.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I can't follow the rules.
It's all loosey-goosey.
No, that's
it.
A big zero.
Okay, number two. St. Patrick was born on March 17th.
Lucky Leprechaun. False.
Right, he died on March 17th. Okay, number three is not true or false. Which city... New York City.
Luppy Leprechaun.
Luppy?
No, it's Luppy. That's not right. He said Luppy.
He's disqualified.
He's out. He's
Which
not.
City, New York City or Dublin, is host to the world's largest and oldest
Lucky
St.
Leprechaun.
Patrick's Day parade? Joseph.
That would be New York City.
Started in 1762. You're
of course.
Correct.
The biggest and the best in New York City.
That's right. Okay. Multiple choice. St. Patrick is famous in Irish legend for A, brewing green beer.
Lucky
B,
Leprechaun.
Yes.
Leading the snakes out of Ireland.
You're so good.
I thought I had to wait the other time. Blah, I was blah, told blah, I had blah, to wait blah, for blah. The next question to be asked.
Okay, one more question.
I got to get it on
the colors of the Irish flag are
Luppy
green.
Leprechaun.
Luppy.
Lucky Leprechaun. Lucky Leprechaun.
Lucky Leprechaun. I think you have to say it correctly to
Lucky
get
leprechaun.
Called
I think you're a lumpy leprechaun.
I am.
Lumpy leprechaun. Kathy, calling someone,
green,
please.
White, and orange.
Wrong.
Wrong. Great job, though. Great job, Luffy.
Good
no,
job,
that's
Lumpy.
Right. That's correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now. Your face.
Wow. So who
won,
Joe or Rich?
I think Rich.
Obviously, I would.
I say Rich.
He answered one question.
He pays my salary.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And
well,
you
guys.
Said Luffy Leprechaun. You
Lucky.
Didn't say Lucky.
You said Luffy.
Hey,
you
know, she's got that Long Island
talk.
Accent.
And
I can't
interrupted
what she said.
A lot.
Well, guys, we are always reporting on hot new markets for distributors to target. Here's an interesting one. Sorry. Joe, apparently you're, what is it? You're locked and loaded?
Locked and
us?
Loaded. It's
Here
the
it
gun
is.
Market.
Watch out.
Take a shot.
Everybody get away from
you,
Joe.
We're going to take a shot at this one. Yeah, actually, it's the amount of background checks strongly correlate to gun sales, and they're a record high in November.
Everybody duck.
We're being shot at.
But, you know, the... the purchase of guns or the request for guns is outpacing the inventory that gun dealers have.
I did hear that.
Smith & Wesson shares are up 55%, and Storm Ruger stock is up 60%.
Why, though?
I don't know. You know, maybe it could be because people are thinking that challenging times are coming up and they need to protect themselves.
Does that
correlate
with the economy, I wonder? Gun sales?
Like, I don't know.
Economy's good, gun sales go down?
That would be an interesting thing to look at.
And you know what? Drinking goes up in a bad economy, too. Drinking and guns do not mix.
Nope. Maybe people are going to be hunting for their own food. Maybe more hunting licenses are going to be purchased, and people will start hunting for their own food.
I mean, think that's why.
People have more time on their hands. And
yeah, is it handguns or rifles?
Hunting.
Hunting? It's hunting.
It's
hunting.
Some handguns, semi-automatic hunting, and target rifles.
Wow.
Well, it's
regardless,
scary.
It's a good good target for distributors who are looking for
a good target. Ooh.
Oh, good target. No pun intended.
All right. Well, Joe, we have to have time for your rant, and I just can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Come on, Lumpy Leprechaun.
Come on, Lumpy.
All right. We were in New York City last week, and we ate in a couple of very fine establishments. The food was delicious.
Fine.
The company was outstanding. However, when I went to use the men's room, there is an attendant in there, and I hate that.
Yeah.
Do I really need someone? They handed me a paper towel. Do
and
I need
does
someone?
Anyone put on the aftershave or the perfume that they
disgusting.
Have in those places?
No way.
That's why you're not getting lucky.
I see some people do.
You know
absolutely.
I
some
did,
people
I
indulge.
I did use the Tylenol in there once.
Oh, well, that's a necessity, but would you put on someone else's like makeup or perfume?
Oh, no.
I've used hairspray.
Let's let Joe rant.
Anyway, I don't need someone there handing me a paper towel that I have to then tip a dollar.
Do you give them a tip?
No, because I get my own paper towels. Like, I can reach over and
I
get it.
I don't tip at all in the bathroom. That
so
guy
you
shouldn't
ignore
be there
their outstretched hand and get your own paper towel.
Yes, because I feel uncomfortable with someone handing me a paper towel.
I'm Wait, quite... you actually won't take the paper towel from the guy?
Nope. I'll go and get it myself.
You just, no, sorry, you just fella. Pass it up? You're like, so no, I can't.
I'm happy that he has a job in this tough economy.
Wow, I'll take the paper towel, but I'm not tipping in the bathroom.
I wonder how much money they could make doing that.
I don't know.
I don't know. I just
You're
don't like
it.
How much
yeah,
money?
About
I don't need anyone
else. Take Michelle's there quiz. Be,
I like
qualified.
To work with people.
I bet people make a lot of money.
You know
there's people
you know
have
the
a lot of money
matron?
In those places.
Cosmo Kramer's mom.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah, she was a matron in the bathroom.
Wow.
All right, guys. Well, last week was Friday the 13th. Apparently, it was the second one in 2 months. Is that right? I didn't even realize.
Yep.
But that date is a boon for some marketers. Kath, what's that?
Well, experts suggest you should turn superstition into marketing gold. Did you know that a report at 9% of Americans have a fear of Friday the 13th?
I did not know that.
You know what this is called?
Yeah. Paris, give a bit of a trivia phobia.
Benjamin
something
I thought
like
it was
that.
Triskaidekaphobia, something like that.
Something like that.
But then why is that good for marketers?
Well, experts say businesses can take steps to mitigate losses on Friday the 13th because people are less likely to buy and make decisions on that date. But home store Crate and Barrel, for instance, ran a Lucky You campaign last year on Friday the 13th. They played off the superstition and got people to come out anyway, like with promotions and
so it's
sales.
A cool
right.
new holiday to promote.
And, of course,
holiday?
Friday the 13th hasn't hurt the
and
franchise.
And they got you your Friday the 13th present.
Rock on.
Right. The Friday the 13th movies obviously open on Friday the 13th, and they're doing really mm-hmm. great. So you should turn superstitions, you know, upside down
sure.
and make it work for you.
I think that's cute to do a Lucky
yeah,
You campaign.
I think so, too.
Or, you know, or you could do it something like on Thursday the 12th. Avoid Friday the 13th altogether.
No. We want to make Friday the 13th a good day, Joe. That's
how many
the
Friday
purpose.
The 13th movies have there been, just out of curiosity?
They just remade
first
the first one.
The first 11 films have earned a scary $350 million. 11. Can you believe
well,
that?
Well, on that note, is anyone here superstitious?
No.
A little
so,
bit.
Black cat cross your path, fine?
I'm good.
Both Friday
good
the 13th
ladders,
this year,
ladders.
A black cat crossed my path.
And then what happened?
Nothing.
Okay, so
everything was fine.
Perfect.
Knock
at
on
her.
Wood.
Look
knock
at her.
Wood.
You can't tell?
She ended up wearing a green shirt and an orange sweater.
All right, guys. Well, we are out of time today. Thanks for listening to today's show. Thanks to our sponsor, I Promote You. Don't forget to check out their March Madness pool. And most importantly, whether you are Irish or not, we wish you a very happy and safe St. Paddy's Day.